What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I also just saw something, Donnie, that we're going to have to bring up right now with Mike Florio because it has floored me. Rarely does like one of these lifestyles of the rich and famous things drop my jaw to the floor. Reportedly, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce spending approximately $100,000 a day on their transatlantic romance right now. $100,000 a day. Bodyguards, flowers, private jets. How is that? I don't care how much money she makes. How is that possible for him?
I'm surprised it's only $100,000 when you factor in all those things. Look, she's got more money than he does by far. I have a feeling that she's footing the bill for security and she's footing the bill for the plane. And he's a kept man at this point. And I think we should all aspire to that outcome.
They said he's spending thousands of dollars a day on flowers. And I got to be honest, your breakdown sounds right. If she's paying for the jet and the security and everything else, and she's filling the jet with Kansas City barbecue, I would agree with you that he's in a pretty good space here, and he's probably not accounting for much of that $100K.
I just wonder at what point you recognize you have so much money, it's impossible to ever even take a dent out of it. It's like the old movie Brewster's Millions from the 80s with Richard Pryor. Like, you couldn't try to spend it all. You couldn't. It's impossible. It would be a full-time job and then some to spend 10% of what she's got.
You know, if they get married, that ends up being a possible TB12 situation where Kelce could take a big haircut from the Chiefs to keep their window open longer, and he's just sitting back there. You know what? I'll take veteran minimum. I'm still playing at a high level. Give me that vet minimum salary, and let's add some pieces.
You could buy a team, too. You could buy a team.
I was going to say the NFL would probably be very happy about that if Taylor Swift decided to buy in on a franchise here soon. To matters a lot more serious here, we now have in Pittsburgh the number 8 games without pay, the Cam Sutton suspension. Based on who, people you were talking to, Mike, was that what you expected to come out of this?
Well, it didn't surprise me. I think at one point we talked about the personal conduct policy, the baseline of 6 games for a domestic violence situation, with the opportunity for that number to go up. And when you look at the affidavit that was in the Tampa Bay Times, some of the specific allegations fell right within the wheelhouse of the aggravating factors. And I think that's why it got pushed to 8 games. So, you know, I think one of the questions here, when the 8 games is concluded after the Giants Monday night game, mm-hmm. they may not take him back. They may decide by then, we're good, we're fine. There's no guaranteed money. They can move on from him if they want to once that suspension expires.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, so I'm glad you brought it up. It made me think, too, that they might have been hoping for a shorter suspension, but that also the optics of it being 8 games, not just they might discover guys who can play between now and then and they don't need him, but that 8 games probably just makes it look a little bit even worse on the Steelers' end because there was no break given by the league here whatsoever.
No, and this is a product of what happened with Ray Rice 10 years ago, where we all knew what he did in that elevator at the casino in Atlantic City. But once we saw it, it changed everything. And I would submit to you that if there was a video of what Cameron Sutton did, Steelers wouldn't have signed him. Nobody would have signed him. He wouldn't be working for anyone right now, wouldn't have a chance with any team. And that's why I was just surprised the Steelers went there. I really was. It doesn't seem like the Steelers kind of thing to do it. A lot of fans, you know, hey, got to support the team. No matter what they do, they can do no wrong. How dare you point that out? But it's kind of hard to have the moral high ground now with the Browns and Deshaun Watson when the Steelers have given safe harbor to Cameron Sutton.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joining us on the PM team. Speaking of this situation, one thing, when I was talking about it with callers when the news broke a couple of days ago here, it happened during the show, Mike, was I had one caller who hadn't read the story yet just say, well, he's going to appeal this, and I pointed out he waived his right to appeal. Just from that perspective, like the CBA, collective bargaining, players versus, you know, ownership and management in the NFL, what's the rationale for Cam Sutton waiving his appeal at that point?
Well, the reality is the NFL approaches him, the union, his lawyer, and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to suspend you for the whole year. For example, I don't know if that's the case here, but it's like any other situation where you've got two sides, they negotiate a resolution so that they don't have to roll the dice on whatever would happen through the NFL's in-house justice system. And currently there is some degree of independence. There's a retired judge who's been given the assignment, and that person was involved in the Deshaun Watson case 2 years ago. So there is a fact-finding and a threshold decision that's made by somebody who does have independence. So you go to Cameron Sutton and you say, look at these aggravating factors. We're gonna go for a year if you make us go forward with this, but we'll do 8 games. And he agrees to 8 games, waives his appeal rights, and that's it. That's something like that is likely what happened.
I'll move on to something a little less serious, actually a lot less serious. Did you catch wind of Joe Burrow's suggestion about when this thing goes to 18 games, which is an inevitability, what they should do, the NFL? Go 2 bye weeks, one of them is a universal bye, and he said move the Pro Bowl to the middle of the season because he thinks it would goose participation. Your thoughts?
They will never shut down the entire league during the season. I love creativity, but I also am a pragmatist, and the NFL is not going to give up a weekend in the middle of the season of Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, two windows, that big 4:25 p.m. Eastern window, Sunday night, Monday night, whatever else they can cram into the pizza, wherever else they can find more cheese, and they keep finding more and more places to stick that cheese. They're never going to do that. The best they can hope for is two traditional bye weeks on an 18-game slate, 20 weeks in the season. But when they did that back in 1993, there were 28 teams at the time, not 32. The networks hated it because it dilutes the schedule to have two byes spread over 20 weeks instead of one spread over 17, now 18. That's the problem. And really, there are more concentrated games now with 18 weeks and only 1 week off. You go to 20 weeks and 2 weeks off, week in and week out, you may have some days where you're like, none of these games are really any good this weekend. And that's one of the risks of doing two byes. But I think it's time for two byes.
If they do, if and when they get to 18, I should just say when, because we all know it's happening, Mike. I'm not going to be a Pollyanna here and think it's going to stay at 17. Do you think that the NFL will try to claim yet another day on the weekly calendar? I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. If they have designs on trying to grab Tuesdays or something like that for themselves, schedule-wise?
I'm surprised they haven't done more Tuesday and Wednesday since they proved that they can do it. And the Steelers were part of the guinea pig experiment during COVID in moving games around on weekdays. Look, I think here's what will happen. If they do go to 18 and add another bye week, they're going to want to have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. Well, the bye week is going to cause them to go back and retake Labor Day weekend. They got away from Labor Day 20, 25 years ago because people are traveling. They're at barbecues or at the beach. It's one last big fling before the unofficial end of summer. I think they should go back and take Labor Day anyway because you know the difference now? Hey, we all got this. We can watch it wherever we are. We're going to all be watching football games at the picnic and at the barbecue and at the pool and at the beach. And so, and they could do right out of the gates, Labor Day weekend, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, 5 primetime standalone games to start the season. They could do that every year if they start on Labor Day weekend. And I think that if they do the two byes, it's inevitable they'll be back on Labor Day.
Last one, Mike. Have you been at all entranced? You just held up your phone. I'll admit something. I've been watching the Hard Knocks in season in little, very easily digestible bites on my phone when they post blurbs of it, and I have found it more compelling than I thought. Have you been sucked in at all to the off season? I guess it would be Hard Knocks. Excuse me.
I love it because they've let way too much stuff into the final cut. The example that's making the rounds today, when they sit down at the scouting combine and have their PR strategy session about what they're going to say about Saquon Barkley. I like it because so many times somebody will say something at a press conference and all the fans are like, well, it must be true. They said it at a press conference. No, they're lying to us. It's strategic. Sometimes you have to lie. Sometimes they're just trying to keep their cards close to the vest. They're trying to not piss somebody off, whatever the case may be. But it's been very useful because I'm going to go back to that story. Anytime now there's a controversial issue with the team and the team says something self-serving and predictable to press conference, I'm going to say, hey, remember what we learned in offseason Hard Knocks. And I mean, there's other issues too. I'm surprised that any team would allow that kind of a look into their internal deliberations when they're trying to figure out what to do. It is not useful to anyone to, number one, have a camera and a microphone there, and number two, put that stuff on TV.
Well, I'm going to continue to hope that it happens. Hope against hope, at least.
Anybody but the Steelers. You don't want the Steelers, folks, to get that assignment.
No, I kind of do, even though I think I know how it would go. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
See you, man.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.